The Slovenian Chinese Business Council was founded in 2020. What are the main achievements in these 5 years?
Since its inception in 2020, sparked by pivotal moments such as Hisense's acquisition of Gorenje and the conclusion of my chairmanship at Outfit 7, the council has rapidly evolved into a cornerstone of Slovenian-Chinese collaboration. Our founding vision was to build a robust organization that nurtures and formalizes the naturally synergistic ties between a small chicken and a big rooster. Over the past 5 years, we have grown to over 70 members, and last year alone, we orchestrated 3 business delegations that welcomed more than 150 participants, nearly half experiencing China for the first time. These initiatives have not only fostered critical business relationships, but have also laid the groundwork for higher-level diplomatic exchanges. Looking ahead, events such as the visit of the President of the National Council and Slovenia's role as a guest country at the Ningbo Fair signal our commitment to deepening mutual trust and paving the way for presidential visits that will further solidify our bilateral bond.
How can Slovenia and Europe benefit from improved relations with China?
In these unpredictable times, deepening ties with China offers Slovenia and Europe strategic advantages on multiple fronts. China's remarkable 40-year journey to become a global economic powerhouse underscores its resilience and potential as a long-term partner. While cultural and value differences exist, one fundamental common ground remains: an enduring commitment to peace. This shared aspiration can serve as a platform for enhanced dialogue and cooperation. Strengthening these relations will open avenues for technology transfers, joint ventures, and market access for Slovenian products, such as luxury goods and fine wine. For European leaders, a proactive approach in establishing clear, long-term channels of communication with China will help balance global power dynamics and foster economic stability. By embracing opportunities for deeper engagement, Slovenia and Europe can drive innovation, promote mutual growth, and contribute to a more stable international order based on understanding and shared prosperity.
On which concrete points do you believe that China represents an opportunity to boost Slovenia's economy?
China presents a massive and dynamic market that holds considerable promise for bolstering Slovenia's economy. The disparity between our domestic priorities and the export potential in China is striking. Luxury products and Slovenian wines have already demonstrated strong appeal. The success of Hisense, a key player in this arena, underscores the benefits of strategic partnerships. Moreover, as Europe's automotive sector faces mounting challenges, Slovenia's automotive industry, accounting for roughly 10% of our GDP, can leverage Chinese technological advancements, particularly in electric vehicles, to secure a competitive edge. Embracing Chinese innovation, exemplified by companies like Huawei, is critical to transforming our economic landscape. We must develop a clear strategic framework for cooperation that not only taps into current market opportunities, but also considers ambitious projects such as exploring the feasibility of a Chinese-built nuclear power plant. It's surprising that no one seems to ask what JEC-2 would cost if China built it, or how quickly they could get it done. This proactive approach will be essential for Slovenia to fully harness China's potential in driving economic growth.
Share some of your personal experiences from China and working with Chinese people.
Working in China has been a real eye-opener for me. The cultural differences are striking. Things move at a different pace, and trust isn't built overnight. I often say that half of my gray hair comes from past relationships, and the other half from navigating Chinese business culture. I always recommend Kai-Fu Lee's AI Superpowers because it captures much of what makes China so dynamic. One thing I've learned is the importance of patience. In China, hierarchy matters, and you won't see contracts signed on the first visit. It takes time to build genuine relationships and trust. I've come to appreciate the hard work and dedication of my Chinese colleagues, and over time, these interactions have grown into meaningful professional and personal relationships. It's all about understanding each other's rhythms and creating a space for long-term collaboration.
In April 2024, Slovenia's largest business delegation, consisting of 54 companies and 71 representatives, visited China. What is the major takeaway?
The April 2024 business delegation was a landmark moment for Slovenia. With 54 companies and 71 representatives, our delegation made a strong statement about our commitment to deepening ties with China. The Chinese counterparts clearly recognized the scale and seriousness of our approach. High-level meetings took place, with our Deputy Prime Minister and Foreign Affairs Minister engaging with some of the top officials, including their Vice President. This experience showed us that to move forward, Slovenia must come with clear, well-prepared proposals. It wasn't just about business deals. It was about sending a message that Slovenia is ready to be a proactive partner on the global stage. We learned a lot about the importance of having a coordinated strategy and sending our best diplomats to foster these crucial relationships. It's all a stepping stone toward a more integrated and mutually beneficial future.
You are one of the youngest members of the Trilateral Commission, gathered to propose solutions to some of the world's toughest problems. Where do we stand this spring? Things are changing from week to week. Is the world moving towards polarization, or are we witnessing an emerging multipolar world?
When I look at the world this spring, it's clear that nothing is set in stone. There are moments that feel polarizing, yet at the same time, we're seeing hints of a more multipolar world. Take, for example, recent gatherings in places like Riyadh, where a mix of strong personalities and new voices has sparked interesting debates. It sometimes feels like the same type of narcissistic leadership is still at play, yet there's also a call for more balanced and humane approaches. The ongoing conflicts remind us that, despite all our progress, some lessons from the past haven't been fully learned. I believe we need leaders who are willing to address these deep-rooted issues with both strength and empathy. In my view, the global landscape is evolving, moving away from old polarities towards a world where power is shared among multiple centers, though the journey there remains complex and uncertain.
You recently finished your PhD. What is the topic and main message?
My research has taken me on a fascinating journey from the world of business to full-time philanthropy. My project, titled From Business to Full-Time Philanthropy, exploring the founding leader's leadership journey from the personal and organizational point of view, focuses on the evolution of leaders like Samo and Isa Sialogin. My work explores how personal passion and organizational achievements can come together to create lasting societal impact. I believe that business success can be a powerful springboard for meaningful philanthropy. Ultimately, my research is about showing that leadership is more than just profit and loss. It's about using that experience to drive positive change in the world. I have contributed a new framework to the science, Founding Leaders Philanthropic Transition Framework, FLPTF. This doctoral path has visited more than 50 countries and has always been accompanied by love, laughter, support, and friendship. In the end, leadership is not just a strategy. It is much more, often also that, something hidden. When business success meets human intention, things that go beyond numbers and scales can happen. I still believe, even though it might be too idealistic for the academe world, a better world. We still need this.